Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, April 18th, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini. I'm coming to you at 12:18 a.m. from LaGuardia Airport. I have a flight that leaves at 6 a.m., so I figured it was better to get to the airport early so I didn't oversleep and miss my flight. Fortunately, though, Did They Like It just posted their review roundup for The Wiz revival on Broadway, so I will be getting to that at the top of the show, but I do want to let you know that I was not able to get the travelogue episode that I had promised into the Patreon feed on Wednesday, so that means that I will have an extra long travelogue episode. When I do get it into the feed, it will also include my trips to see An Enemy of the People and The Outsiders on Broadway. It'll also include The Wiz now that it is officially open, but I will talk about my thoughts in general when we get to those. So if you want to hear all of my thoughts on every show that I saw on my trip, head over to patreon.com/BroadwayRadio, broadwayradio.com/Patreon. Now, as I mentioned, the Broadway revival of The Wiz did officially open on Wednesday night over at the Marriott Marquis Theater. This is the very first revival of the show on Broadway. It's directed by Shelley Williams and choreographed by Jaquel Knight. The cast is led by newcomer Nichelle Lewis as Dorothy. In her trio of friends going down the yellow brick road with her are Avery Wilson as the Scarecrow, Philip Johnson Richardson as the Tin Man, and Kyle Ramar Freeman as the Lion. Along the way, she also comes in contact with Glinda the Good, played by Deborah Cox, Eveline, played by Melody A. Betts, who also doubles as Aunt Em, and of course, the Wiz himself, Wayne Brady. I don't feel like I need to give you a synopsis of what The Wiz is, considering it's one of the most famous stories in the history of America and Hollywood and Broadway and all of those things. But if you are unfamiliar, this is a take on The Wizard of Oz that focuses on artists and performers and characters who are black and has a different take on the musical sensibilities than what we are used to from the original film classic. As of recording time, the review aggregator site Did They Like It has collected 11 reviews. 5 were positive, 4 were mixed, and 2 were negative. We'll start off with Maya Phillips from the New York Times, who was mixed. She said, quote, "Now The Wiz returns to Broadway in a revival directed by Shelley Williams in an updated book by Amber Ruffin, with the aim of creating a take, quote, through the blackest of black lenses. This new production showcases creative visuals and some standout performances, but stops short of bringing modern blackness to Broadway." She continues, "All of which is to say that The Wiz is a pleasant, serviceable time at the theater, but as a new production of a musical with the legacy of bringing blackness to one of Hollywood's and Broadway's favorite fairy tales, it's less satisfying." Naveen Kumar, writing for Variety, was also mixed, saying, quote, "The maximalist revival that opened at the Marquis Theater on Broadway tonight following a 13-city national tour diminishes some of the show's reliable pleasures with unmitigated candy-colored exuberance." Robert Hoffler of The Wrap was positive, saying, quote, "But the secret sauce here is Amber Ruffin, who's credited with additional material for this production. No way did William F. Brown's book for the original 1974 Broadway production of The Wiz offer this many inspired one-liners." Jackson McHenry, writing for Vulture, was mixed, saying, quote, "But although the talent is all over the stage, it's also trapped in confused and even ugly packaging. This revival traveled around the country before coming in New York, and indeed it looks like a cheap touring production rather than something that was honed and improved." I'll wrap it up with Juan A. Ramirez, writing for Theaterly, who was positive, saying, quote, "The real riches are in the cast's connection to each other and to the material. Its young leads, as well as their more experienced counterparts, are having the time of their lives and making the most of their roles, singing with an infectious joy typically missing from oft-retread properties. The road to success might have a few bricks missing, but it's a golden one nonetheless." My thoughts are very similar to a lot of the vibes here from the other reviews in saying that the talent is quite clear, both in the principals and the featured cast, but also the ensemble. Everybody is really tremendous, and I think Nichelle Lewis is certainly a star in the making in her Broadway debut as Dorothy. The problem is that, one, the show itself is not great. It's fun, and the music's a lot of fun, but like the show itself is just very much, it feels kind of like a video game in a way that it's like, this happens, and then we go over here, and then this happens, and then we go over here, and then this happens. It's like they're individual scenes that aren't super well connected, which is kind of interesting because so much of what we know about The Wizard of Oz is that the journey is really where the heart and the story is, and we don't really get much of that journey, I didn't feel, in the revival of The Wiz. I also agree that despite all of the colors and vibrancy, it really did not look like a Broadway production. They used a lot of video projections for the sets, so much so that it just looked chintzy to me. And I gotta be honest with you, I did not like the costumes at all. I thought they were all over the place, didn't have much cohesion whatsoever. So I think that when you just take the songs out and kind of look at those as little individual performances, irrespective of the whole, that's very enjoyable. That's very exciting. But when you put them back into the larger musical theater piece, I think you start to see some cracks in it. So if you go in with the expectation that it is not going to be revolutionary theater by any means, I think you'll be fine. But if you are hoping for something that can elevate a very well-known story and a very well-known property, I think you're going to be missing out a little bit. As always, if you want to read these reviews or other reviews in full, you can head over to the show notes where I'll have the complete Did They Like It roundup. All right, beyond the opening of The Wiz on Wednesday, we had some very, very big news. Warner Brothers Feature Ventures has announced that it is developing a musical adaptation of its 2018 hit rom-com Crazy Rich Asians. It is based on a book by Kevin Kwan of the same name, and John M. Chu, who directed the film, then went on to direct the In the Heights film and is directing both of the Wicked films, will make his stage debut directing the musical when we get a full production. Performance dates and locations and all that stuff have not been announced, although they are saying that a pre-Broadway engagement is currently being planned, so we can look out for that. So in addition to John M. Chu, the writers are also pretty incredible. Helen Park of K-Pop is composing the songs. The book is being written by Leah Nananko Winkler, who is a playwright who we've actually had here on Broadway Radio here before. And the lyrics are being done by Amanda Green and Singaporean songwriter Tat Tong. I am absolutely giddy about the opportunity to see what John M. Chu can do with a stage musical. He is known for these bright, colorful visuals in his films, and I think having the opportunity for him to do that on stage is going to be fantastic and very, very cool. So look forward to that. And again, as we always say, like, they're announcing this and talking about the fact that a pre-Broadway tryout is in the works. So I imagine we would find out where that will be sooner rather than later. Perhaps it will be in a forthcoming season announcement that we haven't heard so far for the 2024-2025 season. But if not, I would imagine 2025-2026 at the absolute latest. All right, from one show that we think will be getting an out-of-town tryout in the fairly near future to one where we know it will. Yesterday, the complete cast was announced for the upcoming world premiere of the new musical adaptation of Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. We already know that the show is going to star J. Harrison G., Tom Hewitt, and Sierra Boggess, who I happened to see at 6 on Monday night, by the way. But we now know everybody else who's going to be in the company when it begins performances on June 25th at Chicago's Goodman Theater. Joining the company will be the likes of Lance Roberts, Austin Colby, Jessica Malasky, Mary Ernster, Maya Bowles, Sean Donovan, Demarius Copes, Aaron James McKenzie, and more. If you want to check out the entire cast for the production, you can head over to the show notes. In more casting news, yesterday we found out who is going to be taking over the title role, save the ampersand, in Anne Juliet on Broadway once Lorna Courtney plays her final performance on May 12th. Newcomer Maya Boyd is going to take over the role beginning on May 14th. Boyd made her Broadway debut in Merrily We Roll Along, and so she is going from a Sondheim production over to the Stephen Sondheim Theater. She'll be joining the cast that includes Charity Angel Dawson, Austin Scott, Betsy Wolf, Justin David Sullivan, Ben Jackson Walker, David Bedella, Philip Arroyo, and more. All right, real quick, I want to run through another review roundup here, and this one comes to us from the Public Theater, where they officially opened Susan Laurie Parks' Sally and Tom earlier this week. The plot description reads thusly: the off-Broadway theater troupe Good Company is putting on a play about Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson. Writer Luce is cast as Sally. Her romantic partner, the play's director Mike, is cast as Tom. Really, people, what could possibly go wrong? I'm just going to read through a handful of the reviews here in brief, but the New York Times' Jesse Green was positive, making the show a critic's pick, he said, quote, "The subtlety, cleverness, and humanity with which Sally and Tom approaches the story of Hemings and Jefferson, dazzlingly doubled in the story of the troupe putting it on, come as no surprise at all. They are the hallmarks of an author incapable of writing a line unfulfilled with the bewildering burden, or is it the treasure, of human contradiction. Indeed, Parks begins with an unprovable yet also indisprovable thesis. She has loosed the author and star of The Pursuit of Happiness decree, this is not a love story." Sarah Holden, writing for Vulture, seemed to be mixed to positive. She said, quote, "Sally and Tom is as concerned as Parks has ever been with bones and graves, but this time there's a good deal of padding to cushion our drop into the pit. There's something soft about the play, a little ingenuous and underbrewed. I kept waiting for the turn, the slap in the face. There well may be intention in the fact that, in a play where her name comes first in the title, the men still get the big speeches. But if so, why do things still feel a little too comfortable? Why are we left awaiting an impact that never comes?" All right, my recommendation today is a little different. This is an article from Playbill that dives into one fairly significant change that has happened over at the Walter Kerr Theater, where Hadestown has just celebrated its fifth year on Broadway. Composer Aeneas Mitchell has added a new verse to Epic 3, which is a major second act song that Orpheus sings. The new verse was actually added when it opened in London, and it is now coming over to Broadway on its fifth anniversary. It is really, really fascinating to kind of dive into all of the thought process that she has for why she made the change in that song. So I would definitely recommend you check that out, especially if you are a Hades head like I am. All right, that's all that I have for you today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio, and you can follow me on Instagram at BWW Matt. Thanks again for listening. Have a wonderful Thursday, and I'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.